So we are holding on Tzadik Ches Amud Beis by the second Mishnah. Mishnah says, continuing on the topic of carrying things from one of carrying things involving Rishuyos, we talked about the case we find tefillin. We talked about the case where you're reading from a sefer and one end of it fell into another Rishuyos. Where we talked about the ledge in front of a window. So continuing on that topic, again, much of what we have in our perek is really more belongs in Masechet Shabbos than Eruvin. And in fact, the Rambam puts pretty much all of this in Hilchos Shabbos rather than Hilchos Eruvin. We talked about a couple of days ago what Tosfos says about why this perek is here in our Masechta, because it has it does have some things in it that have to do with Eruv Tchumen. Okay, so the Mishnah says, Oimid Odom Birshus HaYachid Mutalto Birshus HaRabim. A person is allowed to stand in Birshus HaYachid and move something in Birshus HaRabim. So in other words, let's say he can reach out of his door or his window or whatever and take something that's in Birshus HaRabim and move it from one place to another, within four amas, of course, as the Mishnah is going to say, Birshus HaRabim and Mutalto Birshus HaYachid, or vice versa, be standing in Birshus HaRabim and reach into Birshus HaYachid and move something around in there, as long as he doesn't move it more than four amas from where it was. The point is, in other words, we're not making a gzera that if we allow him to do this, then he might end up taking it out to the Rishus, he might end up taking it in or out to the Rishus where he is. We'll see in the Gemara why, in fact, we're not concerned about that.
So he's not actually taking it from one, he's just moving it in one resource. He's not taking it from
the point, in other words, yeah. But you would think to make a gzera, that's the point. You would think to make a gzera that if you allow him, let's say, to reach out of his window and take something in Rishus HaRabim and move it less than four amas, what if he takes it in through the window and then he's carrying from Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYachid? We're saying we're not concerned about that. As long as he carries it less than four amas in Rishus HaRabim, then we're okay with it. With certain provisions that we'll see in the Gemara. Continues the Mishnah. Lo yamud adam birshus hayachid v'yashdin birshus harabim. A person shouldn't stand in birshus hayachid and urinate into birshus harabim, or birshus harabim v'yashdin birshus hayachid, or vice versa. Now we're going to ask in the Gemara why not? It's not going from a makom dalad. We'll see that in the Gemara. But the point is, you would be carrying from one rishus, you're transferring something from one rishus to another, and you can't do that. V'chein lo yoruk, the same thing, you can't spit from one rishus to another rishus. Rabbi Yehuda says not only you can't spit from one rishus to another, but after the shenitlash rukay b'fiv, even once a person has saliva in his mouth, which has been detached, in other words, it's as the Gemara is going to say, it's like rolling around in his mouth. Lo yahalach arba amas ad sheyoruk. He shouldn't walk four amas in the street unless he spits first. Which, by the way, if it's windy, then you have a different issue. The Rishami mentions, although the Bavli doesn't bring it, that a tolda of the malacha of zoyre, of winnowing grain, which involves you throw up the grain with the straw and whatever mixed into it into the air, and the wind blows away the straw and the grain falls down. The Yerushalmi says in Zbrot Lahalacha that a tolda of that would be spitting into the wind. So if you have saliva in your mouth, if it's windy, then you have a problem. I guess then you have to bend down far enough that the wind won't blow it away, or else spit into part of your clothing or whatever. And then when you get home, take the clothing off and put it away or whatever. But if it's not windy, then fine. You don't walk four amas without first spitting to get the spit out of your mouth. It's brought, by the way, in Sefer Chassidim, an interesting thing. First of all, the question is whether the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda or not. That you have a macholik b'sushonim. What it says in Shulchan Aruch is that yesh oimrim, that you should be careful with it even in karmelis, but those who want to be meikol, they have what to be soimachan, because after all, there are those who say that it doesn't even apply in Rosh Hashanah. Basically, it boils down to the question, is the halacha like Rabbi Yehuda or not? If we say the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, then Sefer Chassidim mentions an interesting idea about that you should be careful on Shabbos not to eat a lot of sesame seeds, because then you're going to have a lot of saliva in your mouth, and then when you're walking around on Shabbos, you're going to have a very hard time avoiding carrying it for amas in the street in your mouth. Okay. So the Gemara starts off. Rav Chinina bar Shlemya taught our Mishnah to chia bar Rav in the presence of Rav. We've had this before, that Rav Chinina bar Shlemya was chia bar Rav's Malamed, so he's teaching in Mishnayos and Brisos and whatever, and Rav was around to supervise. And he taught him our Mishnah in the form Lo Yamed Ad Rishas Yachid Vital to Rishas Rabim, that a person should not stand in Rishas Yachid and carry into and carry something in Rishas Rabim, again sticking his hand out of the window or whatever and carrying it. So that was Rav Chinina Bar Shlemi's version of the Mishnah. Omale, so Rav tells him, what are you doing? Shavkat Rabbanan Va'avdas K'Rameir? Are you abandoning what the Chachamim say and going like Rameir? After all, Rav Meir, we're going to learn later on in the Perek, holds that you can't. Rav Meir holds, for example, you can't be standing in Rosh Hashanah Yochid and unlocking a door with a key in Rosh Hashanah Rabbin. Meaning, in other words, Rashi describes the scenario. Let's say you have the key is lying there in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, and you pick it up and open with it a door that's in front of Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. The problem is that you might carry the key in. That's according to the mayor. The Chachamim disagree with that. So what are you giving me the mayor's opinion rather than the Chachamim's opinion? We didn't mention about the key a few years ago. No. Yeah, we're last time around, of course, we talked about it now. No, I don't think we talked about it in the last few days now. No, okay. In Rambam it was, yes, that's what I was saying. Most of these halachas that we have in our perek are going to have been in Rambam perek echad the last week or so, yeah. Okay. So Rav asked Rav Chinina Bar Shlemia, why are you learning the Mishnah like Rav Meir's shita rather than the Chacham? Now, what was Rav Chinina Bar Shlemia thinking? Who sover mid sefer to mayor reshinami to mayor? He figured that since the sefer is according to the mayor, namely the Mishnah about the key, which is later on Daf Kuf Aleph. Now, why are we calling it the sefer? We often have, when you have a bunch of Mishnayos on the same topic, then the Gemara calls them resha and sefer respectively, because the Gemara assumes like they were all learnt together in the Bais Medrash and then written down as separate Mishnayos. They may not have been numbered, that's true, but yeah. I mean, here in our Mishnah itself, by the way, you can see in the middle of the Mishnah, there's two dots over there, because if you look in the print in Mishnayos, you'll see these are actually two separate Mishnayos in the. Anyway, so Rav Chinina Bar Shlemia figured that since the Sefer is according to the Meir, Tosfos anyway disagrees with that. Tosfos says, come on, from here until Daf Kuf Aleph, you're talking about Resha and Sefer? No, Tosfos says what it is since we have at the end of our Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda says, Af Mishnit Lash Rukai Befiv, the case where you have saliva in your mouth and you can't walk for Amos. Now, who usually is Rabbi Yehuda arguing with? Rabbi Meir. So therefore, Rav Chinina Bar Shlemia figured the sefer of our Mishnah itself, the case where it says that you're not allowed to spit, that you're not allowed to spit from one rishus to another, must be according to the mayor. And in that case, the reisha nami the mayor. Then the reisha must be according to the mayor. And the only way that could work then is if the reisha actually says you're not allowed to stand in one rishus and move something in the other rishus. But the Gemara says v'loihi. Actually, that's not so. Rav is correct. Sefer the mayor v'reisha rabbanon. The later Mishnah, the Mishnah on Daf Kuf Aleph according to Rashi, the Mishnah over here about not spitting according to Tosfos is according to the Meir, but the Reisha is in fact according to the Rabbanon, and therefore the correct Girsa of the Mishnah should be as we have it, Oimid Adam Rishus Yachad Metal to Rishus Rabim, that you are allowed to stand in one Rishus and reach out through the window or whatever and move something in the other Rishus. So a key, then you would be allowed to. That's an example of it. That's an example of it. You'd be allowed to, let's say, for example, you're reaching out the window, taking a key that's on the ground over there and reaching over and unlocking a door over there. You could do that. As long as you're not moving it more than 4 amas and as long as you're not moving it into the resource where you are. Yeah. With that said, though, we're going to see soon there might be more rules about that. So we'll get to that. Okay. We said Ravad Shalo Yotzi Chutz. Now the Mishnah is saying that he's not allowed to move the thing outside of 4 amas, implying Ha Hoitzi Chayav Chatas. Now the implication seems to be that if he were to move it in Rosh Hashanah outside of 4 amas, he'd actually be Chayav Chatas. Now you have to consider the person himself is standing in the person himself is standing inside. Where is he moving it? He's moving it maybe above 10 tefachim in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, because he's reaching out through the window and picking it up and moving it more and moving it above 10 tefachim. And we still don't say that it's considered that he's moving it through Makom Patur and he should be Potter. We say we go according to the Akira and the Hanocha, and the Akira and Hanocha were both below 10 tefachim in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. even though he is standing in a different Rishus. Lema Messiah Leila Rava. In that case, can we say that our Mishnah supports what Rava said? The Amar Rava, Hamavir Chayfet Mitchilas Abba L'Soif Abba. Rava says that if a person picks up something at the beginning of four Amos in Rishus Rabbim, puts it down four Amos further along, the Havira Derech Olav, where the whole time he's carrying it above 10 Tfachim from the ground, Chayev. So you see from our Mishnah, it seems to be expressing the same idea. The Gemara says, not necessarily. Mi katoni im hoitzi chayev chatos. After all, the Mishnah doesn't say that if he does carry it outside four amas, then he's chayev chatos, meaning that he's over on an isur d'oraisa. Dilma im hoitzi potter avalosu. Maybe all the Mishnah means is he shouldn't do it, because if he did, then he's over on an isur d'rabbanan. So there's no solid proof from this Mishnah for what Rava is saying. You have, by the way, we talked about yesterday or 2 days ago, that Tosfos has a different definition of Derech Olav, bringing from Rabbeinu Hananel, that what it's talking about is he's standing in one place, and he picks up something from one side of him, and brings it across and over him, over to the other side. So he's not moving from his place at all. Which, that's more similar, in a way, that's more similar to the case of our Mishnah, where he's standing inside one Rishus, and moving something in the other Rishus. You can move something within four amas in Rishus Rabbim, but only once. Only within four amas, yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, if you have, if the person is turning around, if the person is bending over or whatever, I mean, a person's arm is about an amma and a half long. So, and then you have the width of the person's body is about an amma, so yeah. So, especially if he leans over a bit and leans over in the other direction, yeah, it's possible to do it. You have, by the way, that machlokas of Rashi and Tosfos of what Derech Olav means. You have the same thing between the Rambam and the Ravid. The Rambam understands Derech Olav like Rashi, because he describes the case. A person is carrying something four amos in Rishus Rabbim above his head, and the Ravid disagrees over there, and then learns, like Tosfos, that it means that he's standing in one place and bringing it from one side of him to the other. Anyway. So that's the point. No, so if he carries it derech olav, according to either of those definitions, then he's chayev. So the Gemara wanted to use that as a proof for Rava, that our Mishnah seems to also imply he's chayev, but the answer is not necessarily. Maybe the Mishnah, in our case, where he's standing in one Rishus and carrying it in the other Rishus, maybe he's only potter avalosu. Ikadamri, another version of the discussion goes the other way. Ha hoitzi potter avalosu, that was saying he's not allowed to move at four amas, more than four amas in Rishus Rabbim. But if he does, then so the Mishnah doesn't say what happens if he does. So maybe the implication is that it's only potter avalosu. After all, the Mishnah should have, instead of just saying Ravachala Yoichalo Yoitzi Chutz La'ab Amas, the Ritva points this out, instead of saying he shouldn't carry it outside of four amas, which implies he shouldn't, but if he did, he's not over on an Isser Daraisa, it should have said Osir, it should have said Chayev Imhotzi or whatever. So the fact that it doesn't seems to be implying Potter Aval Osir, in which case, Lema Tevet Tiufta de Rava, in which case would our Mishnah be a contradiction to Rava, Do Amar Rava Hamav Chayfetz Mitchilas Dalad L'Seif Dalad Vehavira Derech Olav Chayev. The answer is not necessarily is the Mishnah a contradiction to Rava, because Mikatoni Hoitzi Potter Aval Osir. After all, fine, the Mishnah could have said Chayev or could have said whatever, but the fact is all it says is Shaloy Yotzi, Shalvad Shaloy Yotzi. It doesn't say what happens if he does. You're thinking, you Machshon are thinking that it means Potter Aval Osir, not necessarily Dilmim Hoitzi Chayev Chathas. Maybe as a matter of fact, if he does carry it out, he actually would be Chayev Chathas, which then would be the same as Rava did. So you can't use our Mishnah as a proof for Rava, but you can't use it as a contradiction to him either. Okay. He's not within that Rishus. So that's the thing. So two ways of understanding our Mishnah. One, the first way of understanding our Mishnah is that if he did it, he actually would be Chayev Chatos, because the fact is he moved something more than four Amos in Rishus Rabbim. He brought it above 10 Tfachim, doesn't matter, like Rava says. The other, right, well, he's standing in one Rishus and reaching out. No, he didn't carry it from Rishus to Rishus. We're talking about just the four Amos in Rishus Rabbim. Well, the other way of understanding is that if he does it, he'd be Potter Avaloser. Okay, I mean, the fact is we haven't contradicted Rava. The halacha is like Rava's din, that Havira Derech Olav, then he'd be Chayev. So it is over here then. So the halacha stays like Rava in the end, yeah. So if you move something in Rishus Rabbim more than four amas, then it's all, either way it's going to be Osir. Either it's going to be Osir D'Oraisa or D'Rabbanan, but either way it's going to be Osir. Well, no, it's not a suffix, I'm saying, but the fact is, even if we said that it's also d'rabbanan, it would still be osir. Yeah. Okay. Then we said, lo yamid adam b'rishas yachid, that a person shouldn't stand in rishas yachid and urinate or spit into the other rishos, and vice versa. So, Omer of Yosef, hishtin v'rok chayev chatas. If he does urinate from one rishos to another, or he spits from one rishos to another, then he would be chayev chatas, because he transferred something from one rishos to another. The question is, don't you need that the akira should be from a place 4x4 tefachim, and the hanocha needs to be on a place 4x4 tefachim? So fine, the hanocha is he's spitting or he's urinating onto the ground. So there's your 4 tefachim. But the urine or the spit is not coming from a place 4x4 tefachim. Ah, so the answer is machshavte meshavyale makim. The answer is his machshava that he wants to get rid of the urine or the spit makes his mouth or makes his aver considered as if it was a place 4x4 tefachim. In fact, if you weren't going to say that, what about a hada amar Rava? Then you'd have to consider a din that Rava says, which we learned in Masech the Shabbos, Zorak v'noch b'fi akelev oy b'fi akivshon. If a person throws something in Rosh Hashanah, or if a person throws something in Rosh Hashanah, and it lands in a furnace, so it burnt before it actually landed, or it landed in a dog's mouth. Now we're talking about where he wanted it to fall into the furnace, or he wanted it to fall into the dog's mouth. So then, chayev chatas. So wouldn't you say, okay, his machshava was accomplished. So what? Don't you need that it lands on a mokum dalid, and the fire or the where it gets burnt in the air before it ever lands in the kibshon, or lands in the dog's mouth, and if it didn't land on a mokum dalid, ela machshavte meshavya lemokum. The answer is because his machshava is for it to land over there, therefore his machshava makes it that it's considered a mokum. The same thing is true over here as far as the Akira. Now, Tosfos does say you would have to have a condition of that is that he has some hana from it landing in that particular place. If you had, let's say, for example, you have a stick sticking up in Rosh Hashanah, and he throws something and it lands on top of the stick, then we wouldn't necessarily say that he's chayev, because even if he wants it to land on there, he's not really getting any particular hana from it landing over there. So therefore, unless if he's playing ring toss or something, then yeah, but if he's just stam throwing and it lands on top of the stick, then not necessarily. But here, he has hana, he wants to feed the dog, he wants to burn the thing or whatever, so therefore that's considered, that gives it, that makes it a mokum. There is hana, right. Boy, Rava. So Rava asks the question, what about, so now we're talking about where he's standing in Rosh Hashanah, Yachid, and let's say as far as the urination, where the end of his Aver is also in Rosh Hashanah Yachid, and then the stream is going from Rosh Hashanah Yachid to Rosh Hashanah Abim, we say he'd be Chayev Chatas. What about, Rava asks, who Rosh Hashanah Yachid or Pi Amma Rosh Hashanah Abim Mahu? What happens if he's standing in Rosh Hashanah Yachid, but the tip of the Amma is out already in the other Rishos? So then what would be the din? Basar Akira Azlinon. Do we go according to the Akira? And the Akira is therefore, now, Akira meaning from the body. Where is it coming out? It's coming out of his bladder. His bladder, like the rest of his body, is inside the other Rishos. So therefore he's still carrying from one Rishos to another. Oy Basar Yitzia Azlinon. Or do we say we go according to where it comes out? And where it comes out is already in Rishos Rabim. And therefore he's just doing from Rishos Rabim into Rishos Rabim. And it's less than Fuamas, so therefore there's no problem. And the answer is Teku. We're not sure, so therefore he's also to do it, but he's not chayev chatas for it. Well, we talked about it yesterday in the Gemara. There are two different cases. One is where you throw it and you didn't intend for the dog to catch it and the dog caught it, then we say you're potter. The other case is where you intended for the dog to catch it and then it's chayev. We also learned in Masech the Shabbos there's a difference whether you threw it exactly to where the dog is or whether the dog had to run and get it, etc. Yeah. Okay. No, we're talking about four amas in Rosh Hashanah Abim or from one Rosh Hashanah to another, yeah. Doesn't matter if it goes above 10 fachim. Okay. Then we said in the Mishnah, v'chein lo yoruk, the same thing, you're not allowed to spit from one reshus into another. And then we had Rabbi Yehuda, Omer v'chol, Rabbi Yehuda said, you're also not allowed to walk out, in, you're also not allowed to walk in reshus rabim with saliva in your mouth more than 4 amos. If the saliva was detached, he said, af mishin nitlash rukai b'fiv, also once the saliva was detached in his mouth. So, does that mean, does that mean that he would be also, according to Rabbi Yehuda, even if he didn't turn over the saliva in his mouth? Now, you know how it is. You have saliva collects in your mouth, but then you have, like, you turn it over with your tongue in order to get it into a ball so you can spit it out, right? So does that mean even if you didn't do that? Well, Hatsunan, we learn in a Mishnah, in connection with the halachas of Tumah V'Tahara. The Mishnah is actually in Masechta Kelim, even though the halachas that we're talking about are more relevant to Masechta Machshirin, but this particular one is in Kelim. If a person was eating a fig with his hands were tame. Now Rashi explains that we're talking about that the fig over here is truma. His hands are truma. He didn't wash them. His hands midrabbanan are sheni latruma. So therefore they will pass all the truma because a sheni touches truma, it makes it a shlishi, and a shlishi is pasul. Tosfos says we don't necessarily have to be talking about that. We could be talking about the fig is actually chulin, but we have a rule. We have a rule that even though usually we're used to that tumah goes downward, a rishkin makes a sheni makes a shlishi, etc. But when it comes to liquids, then midrabanan, you have that liquids are almost always considered a rishin l'tumah. So therefore, even a sheni l'tumah, the hands touches the liquid, they make it a rishin l'tumah. So therefore, the result is you're going to have his hands are a sheni l'tumah, as we're going to describe. They touch his saliva, makes it a rishin l'tumah. Then the saliva touches the fig and makes it a sheni l'tumah. So it could even work that we're talking about, and the problem is then, if he then eats that fig, then he's eaten food which is tamei, and midrabanan, as long as he eats a certain amount of food, as we learned previously on Daf Pei Beis Pei Gimel, then he himself will be tamei, and he can't eat truma until he totals, midrabanan. So Tosfos learns it doesn't have to be that we're dealing yet with truma over here at all, the whole thing, we're dealing with chulin, but the question is he going to become tamei as a result of this? Anyway, so he's eating a fig, his hands are tamei. What Mr. Office means unclean, dirty or unclean or whatever it means. That it means he hasn't washed his hands. Then he puts his hand into his mouth to take out a pebble. He accidentally ate a pebble together with the fig, let's say, and now he's reaching into his mouth to take out the pebble, and therefore his hands are getting wet with saliva. And touching the fig. Rameyer matame. Rameyer says that the fig is tame because he says. Now remember, food needs to be mukshal akabal truma in order to become tummy. He says the fig became mukshal akabal truma with his saliva. We know that one of the shiva mashkim that make food mukshal akabal truma is water. Saliva is considered a type of water. Therefore it was mashu the fig akabal truma. And once he touches the fig with his hands that are tummy, then he makes the fig tummy. Well, yeah, that's true. Exactly. He wants the saliva to be there, right? But Rabbi Yossi Matahar, Rabbi Yossi says he's Tahar because Rabbi Yossi says the fig is Tahar because Rabbi Yossi says as long as the saliva is in his mouth, it's not considered a mashke. So it's considered, it's part of his body. So therefore, it's not mukshal akabal truma. Rabbi Yehuda says it depends. Hipich ba tome, if he turned over the saliva in his mouth, which is why we're bringing this here in our Gemara, then the fig is tome, lo hipich ba tome. And if he didn't, if it's just the saliva that's in his mouth regularly, then the fig is tahor. So we see Rabbi Yehuda holds the difference whether you turned over the saliva or not. So why in our Mishnah does he not seem to be making that difference? He's just saying Mishnah nitlash ruka b'fiv, that was detached from his mouth, but he hasn't actually hippich in it yet. So Amar Rabbi Yechanan muchlefes hashita. Rabbi Yechanan says, the shita is changed. Now, very often in the Gemara, when we say mochlefes hashita, what it means is we're switching around the opinions. The opinion that we thought was from one Tana, we're saying is actually from a different Tana. Rabbi Nachmanel does understand it that way over here. However, Rashi does not understand it that way. He understands mochlefes hashita, meaning Rabbi Yehuda changed his mind. Rabbi Yehuda originally held that what he says over there, that only if hipichva is considered, that it's matame, and then he changed his mind and said what he says in our Mishnah over here, that even niflash rukai b'fiv, then already it's considered that you're carrying it. That's Rabbi Yechanan. Resh Lakish Amar Lo Olam Lo Tachlif. Resh Lakish says you don't have to say that Rabbi Yehuda changed his mind. Because our Mishnah is not just talking about regular saliva. Our Mishnah is actually talking about phlegm, which is therefore, even if he wasn't mahapich, even if he didn't turn it over in his mouth, but it's phlegm, it's not regular saliva, so therefore already it's considered not part of his body once it's in his mouth, because he wants to get it out as soon as possible. So the question is, what do you mean, though? A Braisa says that Rabbi Yehuda says that we're talking about kichoy, where it was detached from his mouth. My love, roik v'nitlash. Now, shouldn't we assume, even though the Braisa is mentioning kichoy, that it means kichoy as well as rukoy? Now, the question is, obviously, why should we assume that? Why are we using the Braisa as a question on Resh Lakish if the Braisa clearly says kichoy? So, in fact, there's a different Gusa. In fact, there's a different Gusa. It brings on the side by me. Dukas Sofrim also brings it that what the Braisa is saying, that the Braisa is saying, Yehuda Oma Kichoy V'chein Rukoy. Kichoy as well as Rukoy, and so we should assume it means the same thing. If whatever applies to Kichoy, to phlegm, also applies to Rukoy, and therefore, so it would mean both of them as only V'nitlash. The answer is like Kichoy V'nitlash. No, it's two different things. Kichoy, we're talking about just the fact that it was detached in his mouth, then he has to spit it out before he walks for Amos. Whereas Roik, according to Resh Lakish's understanding of Rabbi Yehuda, we would say that since it's a more normal thing for it to be in his mouth, then only if he turns it over with his tongue and gets it ready to spit, then he has to spit within four Amos. So there would actually be a difference. Well, maybe. I mean, okay, but if you can't walk more than four amas with it in your mouth, then you have to, fine. So in that case, then maybe, yeah, you don't spit on the ground if you're concerned that it's going to promote the growth of plants over there. I mean, if it's bare ground, then I guess you don't have a problem. But if it's if you're walking on grass or whatever, then yeah, then maybe you have to spit into your clothing and then just later on take your clothing home and put it away. Okay. So the Gemara asks, "V'hatanya Rabbi Yehuda ema koychesh kichosh and nitlash v'chein rukosh and nitlash." We have another brayso that clearly says that Rabbi Yehuda says that both kichoy and rukoy is both shenitlash, only if it was detached in his mouth. Kichoy, we said, is phlegm. So then, both of them is only nitlash. So unlike what we're saying now, according to Resh Lakish, that kichoy it's enough that nitlash, but rukoy, in order to make it work with the Mishnah and Kalim, it would have to be that it was actually hippich and he turned it over in his mouth. So the Braisa here is clearly saying that no, Rabbi Yehuda says the same din applies to both. Okay, so the Gemara says you're right. Elamachvarta kedeshanin and meikara. It's clear we have to answer like we did originally. We can't accept Resh Lakish's understanding. We have to accept Rabbi Yochanan's understanding that Rabbi Yehuda changed his mind. Or like Rabbeinu Hananel says that the opinions in the Mishnah are mixed up, and Rabbi Yehuda is actually the one who said that the saliva. Rabbi Yehuda is actually the one who said the opinion that we attributed to the mayor that the saliva is already metame because it's already not considered part of his body. Okay. Yeah. Even the Gemara speaks about phlegm. Yeah. So next. Probably it would be bottled to your clothing, but I'm not. You're right. I'm not sure about that. Okay, you're right. Maybe you can't put it. Maybe you can't spit it in here. Maybe you can't spit in here. Maybe. I don't know. So maybe you could. Maybe you can't. I'm not sure.
Let's not talk about what you were doing about it. I have some suggestions about it.
Okay, whatever. But, the pashtus, normally you just spit it on the ground. Again, if it's windy, then you have the Yerushalmi's problem. So then you have to, I guess, then, try to keep it from blowing away in the wind, Most places are concrete, and therefore, yeah. Okay. So a short piece of agadta about this, about phlegm. Amar Resh Lakish kiach bifnei rabbi chayav misa. If a person has phlegm in front of his rebbe, then he's chayav misa. Shenema, the pasuk says kol mesanai ohavu moves. The pasuk says the Torah personified says all who hate me love death. And al tikri lamasanai elolamasniyai, not those who hate the Torah, but those who cause other people to hate the Torah. So when a person does that in front of his rebbe, it makes that other people have less respect for the Torah. Look at this; he's doing such a disrespectful thing in front of his rebbe. And in fact, Meiri says on this that what it is he shows with this not just he's making other people disrespect the Torah, but he himself is showing a major lack of respect for the Torah by doing this in front of his Rebbe. So the question is, v'homenas onis, what do you mean? He has an onus, he's sick, he's cold, or whatever, therefore he has phlegm. The answer is, you're right. Kiach v'rok kaminim. What he means is, if he has phlegm in his mouth, and he spits it out in front of his Rebbe, what he should do is, either he turns to a side, away from his Rebbe, or mavliyeh b'ksusay, like we said, he spits into his clothing. That would be more respectful, but to spit right there in front of his Rebbe is very disrespectful. By the way, one thing that comes of this, you know, we spit in shul when we say Aleinu, when we say Shem B'shachlim L'Avav L'Adrich. What you should do, though, is you turn away from the Oren Kodesh. So let's say you're standing on that side of the shul over there, then you turn in that direction. You turn further away and you spit. And the same thing, yeah. If you're standing directly in front of the Oren Kodesh, then I don't know what you do. Then maybe you turn all the way backwards. But yeah, and the point is, don't do it directly in front of the Oren Kodesh. Yeah. Okay. Taking the Sharosh is something else. Yes, the Gemara mentions in Sanhedrin that it's disrespectful to take off your tefillin in front of your Rebbe. Yeah, there are a number of things that it mentions, yeah. Well, and not in Gemara, as far as I know, in Shulchan Aruch, and in Hilchos Kvod Rabbi, then it mentions all of them together, yeah. Yeah, it's talking about many of these things. I'm probably talking about Rabbi Muvhak, like somebody that you learn most of your chokhmah from. It's not we're talking about necessarily the kind of Rebbe like we have in Pirkei Avos, where David learned two things from Achitofel. Okay. Mishnah says, Lo yamid adam b'shus ha-yachid v'yishta b'shus ha-rabim. A person shouldn't stand in b'shus ha-yachid and drink and reach out over into b'shus ha-rabim and drink, or b'shus ha-rabim v'yishta b'shus ha-yachid, because the problem is he might take the keli into the b'shus where he is. He's reaching out over there. There's a keli, let's say, by the well or something, and he's taking a drink of water. He might take the keli back into the house with him. He's standing in Rosh Hashanah, and he's reaching out the window and drinking from a well or a fountain or whatever in Rosh Hashanah. The problem is that he might take the keli back into Rosh Hashanah where he is. It doesn't matter within four, because Rosh Hashanah is still here. Unless he puts his head and most of his body into the part of into the Rosh Hashanah where he's drinking. Once he does that, then we're not concerned. So that he's going to take the keli into the other rishus. V'chein begas, and the same thing applies to a wine press. We'll see in the Gemara what those words mean. So the Gemara starts off. Reisha Rabbanan v'sefer the mayor. We just said that the previous Mishnah, that the previous Mishnah was according to the Rabbanan, where we said you're allowed to stand in one Rishus and move something in the other Rishus. The Mishnah at the bottom of Tzadik Chesam and Beis, we said was according to the Rabbanan. We had Rabbanan about Shlemya thought that it should be according to the mayor and the Girsa, it should be different, and Rav corrected him, so that part is according to the Rabbanan. V'sefer the mayor. Now all of a sudden we have the sefer is like the mayor, who according to the Chachamim, what would be the problem of reaching from one Rishus into another and drinking, the same way as you should be allowed to reach out to the other Rishus and pick up a key, let's say, and move it less than 4 amas, the same way you should be able to reach out and drink. Amar Rabbi Yosef, so Rabbi Yosef says, b'chafetz in shetzrichen loy b'divrei hakol. No, because our Mishnah is talking about an object which he needs. So because he needs it in the current Rishus where he is, we're concerned he might actually bring it in there. The previous Mishnah is talking about, let's say, a key. He has no need of it in the Rishus where he is. The key is needed to unlock a door that's facing Rishus Adabim, let's say. So therefore, there's no problem that we're concerned he's going to bring it in. But here, we're talking about a keli, which he could use inside also. So therefore, we're concerned that he's going to bring it in. The Rambam, by the way, understands kelim chafetzim shetzrichim loy a little bit differently. Not just we're talking about a keli that he could use inside. The Rambam learns that we're talking about a choshev a keli. That there's a big difference between a choshev a keli and a non-choshev a keli. A choshev a keli we're concerned he may bring inside. A non-choshev a keli we're saying he's willing to leave outside. In Shulchan Aruch, it brings both opinions. It brings first the explanation of Rashi as the main opinion, and then V'yesh Omrim, it brings the opinion of the Rambam. The Alter Rebbe doesn't even bring the Rambam's opinion at all. He says in general, when the Mechaber brings two opinions and says the second one is Yesh Omrim, then it means he wants to pass him like the first ones. And therefore, the Alter Rebbe just brings, in Shulchan Aruch, just brings the first opinion, and that's that. So it doesn't matter whether it's a Chosh of a Keli or not, like the Rambam, it just matters whether it's a keli that he could use inside or not. If it is, then no, he can't. Then no, he can't reach out and then use it in the other rishus. That's in the Gemara when we have two Lashonis. We have a first Lashon, and then we have Lishna Achrina, or Ikadamri, or whatever. Then generally we say we go according to the second Lashon. But in Shulchan Aruch, when the Mechaber says a certain thing, and then he says, V'yesh Omrim, such and such, generally speaking, it means he wants to pass them like the, primarily like the first one. So he's mentioning the second one for completeness' sake, but yeah. Two things in Rashi, I don't know, sometimes, so then it's case-by-case thing. Sometimes Rashi himself, many times when Rashi brings two Lashonis, he himself will say, Harishin Iker, or Sheni Iker, whatever, yeah, I like this one, or I like that. Right, right. Okay. Keep in mind, Rashi is here to explain the Gemara for us. Rashi is not primarily here to paskin halacha. So many times we don't actually paskin halacha like Rashi's pshatim, especially because sometimes Rashi, in fact, you'll sometimes even have in a Mishnah or at the beginning of a Gemara where Rashi will explain something not even according to the maskana of the Gemara. He'll just explain according to the hava minah of the Gemara just because it's more straightforward when you're learning the Mishnah. Later on in the Gemara, he'll explain the, right, so, right. Right. So sometimes you have where Rashi will tell us the halacha is such and such, but not very often. But you have, I mean, there's entire svarim about these things. There's a sefer called Halichos Olam, for example, from one of the late Rishonim, a generation or two before the Beis Yosef, who deals in detail with a lot of these klolim of piskei halacha. You have other svarim. You have Yad Malachi. You have Svei Chemed brings these kind of things a lot. So yeah, you have rules. You have rules that the Rishonim and the Achronim put together of when it comes to a machloikas Rishonim, when we Paskin halacha like one versus the other, but many times we don't have a klal, and then you end up with a machlokas of who in fact the paskin. Like you'll have the Mechaber versus the Ramah arguing about it. You'll have the Noisa Kalim on Shulchan Aruch, etc. Okay, fine. So therefore, the Divrei Hakol, so our Mishnah could be according to everybody. Even the Chachamim would agree that where it's a keli that you could use in the current Rishus, or as the Rambam says, where it's an important keli, then we're going to be gozer that you might take it into the Rishus where you are. Okay. So now we have a question. What about, are you allowed to stand in Carmelis and drink from a well in Rosh Hashanah Yachid or vice versa, or Rosh Hashanah Abim or whatever? Amar Abaya hihi. So Abaya says, same thing. No, hihi does not mean that Abaya was laughing. I had a seventh grade Rebbe who one time gave us a test with multiple choice. We had a Gemara and Bava Basra where Abaya says hee-hee, and one of the choices was Abaya was laughing. But that's not what it means. It means Abaya is saying it's the same. It means Abaya is saying it's the same thing. The same rule that applies to Rosh Hashanah Yochid to Rosh Hashanah Abim applies to one of them to Kaimelis, and vice versa. Omar Rava, but Rava says no. He goof exeter. The whole thing itself is exeter because he might take the keli into the other rishus. Ba'anan nekum benigz exeter. You want us to make exeter? You don't do that. Now Abaya, the Gemara is going to point out that Abaya is going to bring a proof from our Mishnah. But why indeed would Abaya say that we make exeter? We generally don't in Hilchos Shabbos. We generally don't in general in halacha. So there's a number of reasons. Among them are because Hitzar, we've learned before, is a malacha grua. It's the kind of thing you wouldn't even know it's a malacha if you didn't have Torah Shabbosav and Torah Shabbat telling you that it is. So therefore we need to maybe make exeter in order to strengthen it. Carrying is also the most common malacha that people do, much more than anything else. Therefore, we might have to make exeter. And there's a number of other reasons that the Rishonim bring why Abaya says that in this case it's appropriate to make exeter. No, if you want no drink, then you do Rosh HaVirubai, like we said in the Mishnah. A person has to drink, but still, so you stick out Rosh HaVirubai into the other Rosh HaVirubai. So Abaya says, where do I get this that I'm saying that the same thing applies to Carmelis? Midikotoni, because the Mishnah continues, V'chein Begas. The Mishnah says the same thing applies to a wine press. Now, we can't be talking about the wine press as a Rosh Hashanah Yochid, and you're standing in Rosh Hashanah Abim, because then what's the Chiddush? It's the same thing as the first part of the Mishnah. You can't be talking about they're both Rosh Hashanah Yochid, because then, of course, you're allowed to. So it has to be talking about the wine press as a Carmelis. Namely, it's at least 4x4 Tvachim, but it's not 10 Tvachim deep. Therefore, it's a Carmelis, and the Mishnah is telling us the same din applies to a wine press, that if you want to drink from it, then you can't do that unless you stick Rosh HaVirubai over the wine press. However, Rava Omar, Rava says that's not a proof because Le'inyan Meiser, the Mishnah, when it says V'chein Begas, is actually talking about a different din regarding Meiser. nothing to do with Hilchas Shabbos anymore. The Mishnah is just telling us the same kind of thing that you have where you need Rosh Veruba as far as Shabbos. You should know, by the way, the same thing applies as far as Maaseh. Namely, now you have a din, this we did mention in the Ein Yaakov Shiur yesterday, that you have a din that you are allowed, before food has been misered, you're allowed to eat achilas arai from it, you're allowed to eat a snack from it. However, there are certain things that are keveya, that make it that now it's considered it's a regular, it's a, you're eating it in the regular way, and therefore it's also until you take truma and miser. There are six things that are keveya. So then, so over here, what we're talking about is, that if he takes a cup of juice from the from the gas and he himself doesn't have Rosh Verubay over the gas, then the problem is he's going to bring it to someplace further away from the gas, and that's going to be considered a kvius, and therefore he can't drink unless he takes Maaser first. Whereas if he leans over Rosh Verubay over the gas and drinks, then that's considered arai. Then that's considered a casual way of doing it, and he's allowed to do that without taking Maaser. Just moving, not necessarily for Amos. The point is, he's moving it further away from the gas. The real thing is, we're going to say, is whether he plans to pour back what he doesn't drink back into the gas. But if he moves further away from the gas, then it means he's probably not planning to. He's probably planning to finish it wherever he is, and that would make it a kvius. So, Ditnan, we learn in a Mishnah. We learn in a Mishnah in Masechta Maaseh about this. We learned this in Masechta Shabbos, by the way, also. You're allowed to lean over the gas and drink the wine. And of course, in those days, they used to often dilute their wine with water because the wine was very thick and syrupy and alcoholic and whatever. So you're allowed to, whether you mix the wine with warm water or with cold water, or potter, and you still potter from Maaseh because you're reaching over the gas to drink. As long as you didn't take it away from the gas area, it's not considered Keva. Divir Rameir, this is what Rameir says. Rabbi Eliezer bar Tzadik Mechayev. Rabbi Eliezer bar Tzadik says that no, just the fact that you're mixing water makes it a kvius. The Chum say if he mixed it with warm water, then he's chayev to take Maaseh first, because then he's not going to pour the rest of it back in, because the warm water is going to ruin the rest of the wine. As opposed to, so therefore, if he mixed it with warm water, it shows that he plans to drink the whole thing and to take it away from the gas and not return it, therefore it's considered a keva. As opposed to, if he uses cold water, he could then go pour the rest of it back. Obviously, back in those days, they weren't concerned about germs or anything, so it's still considered arai. Because he's going to pour the rest back. So our Mishnah, therefore, is talking according to the mayor, and it's saying, therefore, that he can't stand there and drink from the gas without taking Truma and Maaseh, unless he sticks Rosh Verubay over, because that shows that he's doing it, that shows that he's doing it as a keva. So in other words, Rava is saying, you, Abaya, are arguing that that part of the Mishnah shows that the same din applies to Karmelis. I'm telling you that no, this part of the Mishnah is talking about a din in the halachas of Maaseh. Nothing to do with Hilchas Shabbos. The comparison is just like when it comes to Hilchas Shabbos, you have to have Rosh HaVerubah over there to be able to drink, the same way you have to have Rosh HaVerubah over there in order to be able to drink without Maaseh on weekdays. Okay. On weekdays, we're talking about on weekdays. Well, on Shabbos itself, again, the point is that Shabbos itself makes it a keva. So therefore, on Shabbos itself, the Shabbos is one of the six things that's keveya food for Maaseh. So you can't give Maaseh on Shabbos, therefore he wouldn't be able to drink from it on Shabbos. But the point is, as soon as Shabbos comes in, that wine that's there becomes nikba for Maaseh. So therefore, he's not going to be able to drink from it on Shabbos. He's going to have to wait till after Shabbos, and then either he can and then take Maaseh from it. Yeah. No, all the wine that's in the bar would be nikba for Shabbos once Shabbos comes in. In general, when you have food that nigra malachta, but you don't have one of the six things yet, then you're allowed to eat a snack from it. Once you have one of the six things, Shabbos being one of them, then already that food, you can't eat an achilas arai from it anymore. So we have to be talking about, in other words, that you press the grapes, earlier in the week, and now later in the week, you want to take a drink from it. Once Shabbos has come, then it's already nikba. Now, after that Shabbos, anytime you want to drink from it, you have to take Maaseh first. Whether you can have in mind. So then you get into the question of Breira. Then you get into the question of, can you designate the ten lug or whatever, and afterwards take them out after you're drunk. That depends on the question of whether Breira works, and with things that are ice, we say Breira doesn't work, halacha, so yeah. Okay. Mishnah says, Koilet adam minamas chila lamatim yudfachim. A person is allowed to collect water from the maschila below 10 tefachim. The scenario is like this. Rashi explains. Roofs in those times were flat. Now, you have to have some way of draining water off a flat roof. So the way they would do it is they would have a bunch of channels on the roof. They had a bunch of channels or pipes or whatever on the roof that all went to one of two things. Either they went to a maschila, which is basically a flat, which is a more or less flat board or like an open gutter or something that runs along the side of the roof. It's a little bit tilted, of course, so the water runs off. But it's, as we're going to say in the Gemara, it's within three tefachim of the roof. Or the other possibility is you have a drain pipe. You have a tzinner which hangs down next to the wall. So those are the two possibilities. So the Mishnah says, if there's a maschila, if there's only the gutter and there's no drain pipe hanging down from the gutter, then you're allowed to be koilet, you're allowed to catch water falling down from it in the air, lamatim yudfachim. In other words, so here you have, for example, so you're allowed to, you stand over there with a keli, in Rishus Rabim, let's say, under the edge of the gutter, water is dripping down from there, and you collect it in a keli, and then you can drink it. The point is that you're not allowed to reach up. You're not allowed to do to be. You're not allowed to be mitzaref, as the Gemara is going to call it, which means, in other words, that you're not allowed to put your hand or the keli or your mouth or whatever directly by the edge of the gutter and drink from there. You have to wait until it goes off. The reason basically is because now. The problem is different rishuyos. The gutter is part of rishus hayachid because it's within three tefachim of the roof. So lavud. You're standing in rishus rabim, so you can't take from rishus hayachid into rishus rabim. But once it falls off there, now Rashi points out actually it really wouldn't matter if it's within 10 tefachim of the ground. The reason we're mentioning 10 tefachim is because of the next case of the Mishnah involving the drain pipe. In this case with the maschila, it actually wouldn't matter whether you catch the water above 10 tefachim or below, because below 10 tefachim it's in Rishus Rabim, above 10 tefachim it's in Makom Ptur. So either way, you're good, because you're standing in Rishus Rabim. The point is, though, that you can't be mitzaref, you can't take it directly from the gutter, it has to fall off the gutter into Makom Ptur or into Rishus Rabim, and only then can you collect it at that point. Yeah. On the other hand, if there's a drain pipe, where then the drain pipe the drain pipe goes down to Rishus Rabim, the end of it is more than three tefachim below the roof, so you don't say lavud anymore. So then the end of it is in Rishus Rabim or Makom Ptur, as the case may be, and therefore mikol makom shoisa, then you're allowed to drink however you want. You can even put your mouth directly to there, or the keli directly to there, or whatever, and collect the water. We'll see in the Gemara, though. We'll see in the Gemara, there is a condition on that, namely the drain pipe can't be 4x4 tefachim, because if it is, then it's a shiachim. So the Gemara now Rashi explains the reason why we mentioned 10 tefachim in our Mishnah is only because of the drain pipe. Because if the drain pipe is above 10 tefachim, then if the drain pipe is above 10 tefachim, then the problem is, if it's 4x4, then it's Rishus HaYachid, and if not, then it's still a Carmelis. So therefore, you still have a problem either way. Only if it's below 10 tefachim are you good. As opposed to with the maschila, we really don't care whether you're catching the water within 10 tefachim of the ground or above 10 tefachim from the ground. The point is, the maschila itself is Rishus HaYachid, the gutter itself is Rishus HaYachid, so you can't take from it. But once it falls off there, then already it's in Makom Ptur or in Rishus HaRabim, so therefore we're good. We're not talking about a gutter. We're talking about a pipe. A pipe coming off the roof. Yeah, the end of the pipe could be 4x4 tefachim. Yeah, practically speaking, you don't see it, but it could happen. Yeah. Okay. So the Gemara starts off. Koilet ein avam tzadafloi. So we're saying that you can only catch the water that's dripping from the maschila, from the gutter, but not to actually be mitzadaf, not to put your mouth or your hand or the barrel over there and then catch it directly. My timer, why not? Because we're talking about the maschila, the gutter is within three tefachim of the roof. So therefore, it's considered like part of the roof, and therefore it's Rishus HaYachid, and you're standing in Rishus Rabim. Tani Nami Hochi, we learn similarly in a Braisa. Oimid Odom Rishus HaYachid, a person can stand in Rishus HaYachid. Now, this is the Girsa that Rashi has. We're going to talk in a second. Tosfos has a different Girsa, Rishus HaRabim. So we'll talk about that in a second. But right now, let's deal with the Girsa that we have in front of us. that he's standing in Rishus Yochid, umagbia yodu lamayla ma'asara tefachim, he then can lift up his hands above 10, so he's standing in Rishus Yochid. For example, Rashi says he's standing on one roof, he lifts up his hands still above 10 tefachim from the ground, lepochas mishloisha samoch lagag, within 3 tefachim of the next roof over, the koilet, and he can catch water that's pouring off that roof, as long as he doesn't put his hand over there and take it. So why is that? So Rashi explains, because we're talking about over here, we're talking over here according to the mayor in the previous perek, who said that the other person's roof and your roof are not the same rishus. Unless you made an eruv between you, then you can't carry from his roof to yours. So therefore, so if you put your hands next to his drain pipe, next to his gutter, and take the water directly from there, then you're taking from his roof to your roof, and you can't do that unless you made an eruv. As opposed to, if you have your hands above 10 tefachim from the ground, so you're in Makom Ptur, and it's more than 3 tefachim away from his roof, then you'd be able to, because then you're not taking it from his roof, then you're taking the water from Makom Ptur to your roof, and it's fine. Tosfos says, now Tosfos has a different girsa over here. Tosfos's girsa is lo yamad ad bishus rabim v'yagbil yodei l'matam yod, that he can't have his hands within 10 tefachim of the ground and take from the drain pipe, because again he's taking from rishus yachid directly into rishus rabim. So therefore, nothing to do with the dinim about nothing to do with Rameyer's shita about roofs that are more than actually what we said in the previous paddock is that Rameyer had said that Rameyer had said that if the roofs are more than 10 tefachim difference in elevation, then you can't take from one to the other. So according to Rashi, that's the scenario we're talking about. According to Tosfos, we don't need that. We can be talking about you're just dealing with the question of Rishus Rabim to Rishus Yochid, or vice versa, and therefore it doesn't matter. Therefore, it has nothing to do with the question of roofs being all one Rishus or separate Rishus as far as Eruv Chatzeros or whatever. Okay. But again, as long as he doesn't put his hand next to the roof, because then he's taking from Rishus Yochid to Rishus Rabim, or as Rashi says, then he's taking from the other person's Rishus into his Rishus where they don't have an Eruv. Okay. Tanya Idach, another Braisa says the same thing, but phrased differently. Lo yamed adam b'rishas yachid v'yagbiya yodei l'mayla ma'asara tefachim, l'pochas migimol samach l'gag. A person can't stand in rishas yachid, lift up his hand above 10 tefachim, within 3 tefachim next to the roof next to him, v'yitzarif, and put his hand right there and collect the water. Abel koilatu, but he can catch the water that's in the air, that's running off the roof. V'shoysan, he can drink that. In other words, it's the same thing as the previous Braisa, but the previous Braisa had said that he could be koilet, he just can't be mitzaref. This one is saying the other way around. He can't be mitzaref, but he could be koilet. So it's the same din, just phrased differently. Okay. Then we said in the Mishnah, that sinner we call Makom Shoysa, that if he's taking the water from the drain pipe, then he can do it however he wants, even being mitzaref. So, Tana, we learn in the Braisa, im yesh betziner, dalad al dalad osir, if the opening of the tziner is 4x4 tefachim, then it would be osir to be mitzaref, even though you're below 10 tefachim, and even though there's no issue of lavud, the problem is that it's a kamelis, mepeshu kamotzi, mirishos l'rishos, because then you're taking from one rishos to another. And if it's above 10 tefachim, then it's going to be a new rishos yachid, and you still have the same problem. So therefore, either way, you wouldn't be able to do that. No, so if it's from Makom Ptur, you're allowed to. That's what we're saying. You're allowed to take the water that's dripping from the Maschila, which is in Makom Ptur, above 10 Tvachim, and take that into Rishus Rabim. Karmelis, what we're saying is you can't take from Karmelis to Rishus Rabim. So if the end of the drain pipe is a Karmelis, namely it's 4, so if the end of the drain pipe is less than 4x4, then it's a Makom Ptur, fine, then you can take from it. But if the edge of it is 4x4, then it's either Rishus Yochid if it's above 10 Tvachim, or Karmelis if it's below 10 Tvachim, and either way, you can't take from that to Rishus Rabim. Okay. Well, yeah, Kamelis is stricter than Makom Ptur. Yeah, that's it. Okay. Mishnah says, "Bur b'rishus rabim v'choyotze gavaya yud tefachim." If you have a pit, a water pit in rishus rabim, and the lip around it is 10 tefachim tall, which, as we're going to say in the Gemara, it means that the combination of the depth of the well and the lip together, that the combination is 10 tefachim, then chaloin shagav b'mamalin hemeder b'shabbos, then you're allowed to fill up water from it from a window that's over it on Shabbos. Now you go, because the point is, since it's 10 tefachim tall, then you're going through Makom Ptur. Similarly, ash b'rishus rabim gavoya yud tefachim. Similarly, if there's a garbage heap in rishus rabim, which is at least 10 tefachim tall, chalon shagav of sheichan l'seichan mayim b'shabbos, then you're allowed to pour water, you're allowed to pour waste water out of your window onto that garbage heap on Shabbos, because again, you're pouring into makom ptur. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about that. Yeah. So the Gemara asks, "Maya skinan, what's the scenario? Ilema b'smucha, if the burr is within four tefachim of the wall." Lomali chulya yud. Then why do you need there to be a chulya anyway? The burr itself is a reshus yachid because we're assuming the burr itself at this point. We're assuming the burr itself is 10 tefachim deep. And there's no reshus rabim between the burr and your window because it's within 4 tefachim. So therefore, you should be allowed to draw directly from the well, even though there's no lip around the well, just because the well itself is 10 tefachim deep. You're going from reshus yachid to reshus yachid. That beyond the well is reshus rabim, but the well itself is so close to the wall, it's within 4 tefachim of the wall, that the space between them can't be called reshus rabim. Nobody's going to walk in that narrow space of less than 4 tefachim. Yeah, you can't. So then, so you're going from reshus yachid to reshus yachid. So what's the problem? If the well belonged to more people, then you get into issues of Eidovin, of Eidovin Chatzeris, or whatever, but if it's your own well, then yeah, what's the problem? So Rav Huna says, yeah, you're talking about actually where it's 4 tefachim away from the wall. So the only reason you're allowed to draw water from it is because it has a lip, which is 10 tefachim tall. If not, then you have a problem. Then it comes out, you're carrying from one Rosh Hashanah, which is the well, into another Rosh Hashanah in your house, but going through Rosh Hashanah, because up to 10 Tfachim is Rosh Hashanah, and then no good. The burr is at least 4 tefachim away from the wall, so the space between the burr and the wall is part of reshus rabim. So then when you lift up the bucket, then you're carrying from it, you're taking from reshus yachid, which is the well, through reshus rabim, over reshus rabim, within 10 tefachim of the ground, and then up into your window. More than 4 tefachim away from the wall, that's what we're saying. If the space is less than 4 tefachim, then nobody is going to be able to walk through. But if the space is more than 4 tefachim, that's Rav Huna is telling us. The case is that the well is more than 4 tefachim away from the wall. So therefore, this area over here is still part of Rosh Hashanah. Yeah. No. We're talking about horizontally. Yeah. Okay. Rabbi Yechanan says no, it could even be talking about where it is within 4 tefachim of the wall. The reason why we mentioned that there's a choya, you're asking what do we need a choya for, because the well itself is 10 tefachim deep. What we're saying is the chiddush is hakamash malon the bur v'chol yosim etzdar from asara. The Mishnah wants to tell us the chiddush that the pit plus the choya together combined to 10 tefachim. You shouldn't think if the well is only 5 tefachim deep and the choya is another 5, maybe they don't combine because one is below ground and the other is above ground. No, they do combine together, and therefore the whole thing is considered a Rosh Hashanah Yachid. Even though, as we've talked about before, you may not easily be able to... Do you necessarily have an area 4 tefachim wide that you can put things on? No, because the well, the lip of the well is narrow. But as we've learned before, you could conceivably put a board on top of it where then you have a space 4x4 tefachim and you're able to put things on it. So therefore the lip can count towards the 10 tefachim. Okay. We said ashba b'rishus rabim. So it's 4x4 and then you're going from b'rishus yachid to b'rishus yachid. If it wasn't four by, if you didn't know, it doesn't matter whether you have a piece of wood. The fact that you could, it's still the fact that you have a pit where the lip plus the depth of the pit together is a distance of 10 trachim and the width of it is at least 4x4, then it counts as a Rosh Hashanah. If it's not 4x4, then it'll be a makom ptur. And if it's less than 10 trachim deep, then it'll be a kaimelis. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, by the way, the Ritva mentions a svara over here, according to Rav Huna, where we're saying that you're carrying from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah through Rosh Hashanah. He says, now, if it was just that you were taking it directly, maybe it wouldn't be a problem. The problem is, you're carrying a heavy bucket of water. There's a good likelihood that you're going to stop a minute while you're bringing it up, and for a moment over there, it's going to be hanging in Rosh Hashanah within 10 tefachim of the ground, and there you have a problem. He says this Mishnah actually might be only according to Rabbi Akiva, who says Klutah Kamichahuncha. The fact that it's passing through the space of Rishus Rabim makes it as though it's landing in Rishus Rabim. Not necessarily would it be according to the Chachamim. Okay. We said in the Mishnah, Ashba Rishus Rabim, B'chola. We said if there's a garbage heap in Rishus Rabim, then you're allowed to pour water out of your window onto it. So the question is, the Leichashin and Shemetz Notel Ashba. So what, are we not concerned that the Ashba is going to get cleared away and people are going to continue pouring water without realizing that now they're pouring directly into Rishus Rabim? The Amar Ravin Barav Ada, Amar Yitzchak. This we learned at the beginning of the Masechta. Ma'aseh b'mavu yechad. It happened with a certain mavu. Shetzidei echad kolol yam, shetzidei echad kolol ashba. One end of it ended at the yam, at a lake or an ocean or whatever, where the banks of it were steep, and there was a steep drop off over there, so it can be considered a mechitza on that side. Or it doesn't have to be completely vertical. We've learned before, it can be a meslachet yud tvachim, a tefdal amas. It can be a 45% grade or whatever, where that's also considered a wall lalacha. And with sidur echad kolal ashba, the other side ended in an ashba, a garbage heap, which was at least 10 tvachim tall. Yeah, by the way, different understandings among the Rishonim. Are we talking about that the long ends of the Mavi face those things respectively? In other words, the short end of the Mavi faces houses, the other short end faces Rishus Rabim, and then we're talking about the two sides, or the Yam and the Ashba respectively. Or are we talking about that the two short ends are the Yam, the Rambam, for example, learns that way, and he says that the question was whether it needs a Lechi or Kora. Or do we say that the yam and the ashba respectively serve as mechitzis, and therefore you don't need a lechi rakoda there? Rashi learns that we're talking about that they're the sides of it, so we know it needs a lechi rakoda. But the question is it even a valid mavui? Because what if the garbage gets cleared away, for example, then you don't have a wall on that side b'chlal. So ubam ma'isa lifnei Rebbe. So the case was brought to Rebbe. V'loy amar bo loy heter loy iser loy heter. Rebbe didn't want to say that it's Osir, or that it's mutter. According to Rashi, whether you can carry in that mavui b'chlal, even if you make a lechi or koda. According to the Rambam, if you make, do you need to make a lechi or do you not? Why? Heter le'amabai. He didn't want to say a heter in it. The chashin and shemetin notel ashba. We're concerned the garbage heat might get cleared away, so then you don't have a mechitza on that side. And with yala yam shirtoin, and that the lake might cast up dirt, where you have, you know, dirt, like you think of the waves on the beach, for example, they're always casting up dirt onto the ground, so you may have that the drop-off over there ends up may not being such a drop-off, it may be flatter, it may be flattened out, you know, you have a whole bunch of dirt deposited over there, yeah, after a storm, let's say, yeah. So he didn't want to say that it's mutter. Isur like amabai. He didn't want to say that it's also dehor kayom and mechitzas, because right now you have the mechitzas standing there. So we see that there's always a concern with an ashba that it might be cleared away. Why over here do we not seem to be concerned about that? The answer is, like you said, like kasha hadiyachid hadiravin. It depends whether we're talking about an ashba that belongs to an individual, which was the situation in that mavui, versus our Mishnah is talking about an ashba that belongs to the rabbin. It's much less likely to get cleared away. So therefore you can continue. Therefore you can pour water to it without worrying that one day it might be caught away. But if it was an ashba to yachid, then yes, you wouldn't be allowed to. Well, yachid doesn't necessarily mean his own. It could be it belongs to somebody else. We wouldn't necessarily say that you need to make an eruv chatzeris with it, because after all, it's not a makom dira. But so it could belong to his neighbors, but whatever. If it belongs to some yachid, then you can't, because it might get cleared away and he doesn't pay attention and he continues pouring water over there. Your window is Rishus Yachid. The garbage heap is Makom Patur, because it's sitting in Rishus Rabim, but it's above 10 Tvachim. So it's either a Rishus Yachid if it's 4x4, or it's a Makom Patur if it's less than 4x4. Either way, it's 10 Tvachim tall, so therefore you're allowed to, because either you're going from Rishus Yachid to Makom Patur, or Rishus Yachid to Rishus Yachid, and either way you're good. But you're going above 10 Tvachim, so therefore it's also Makom Patur. Yeah. Okay. Thank you, everyone.